Okay, here we go. Peculiar podcast number 354. Go ahead and play it, Melvin.
Well, I play
the cold open.
The cold open.
Yeah, it's what we call an intro bit, an introductory bit before the actual podcast starts.
Yeah, I know what it is.
It could be a fake movie trailer.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you write a commercial parody
or I know.
Anyway, this show will not be presented, so we can bring you Peculiar podcast instead. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
What do you got?
I don't have anything, actually.
You've got nothing?
No, not this time.
I've
got no ideas.
Well, then what are we paying you for?
Well, actually, you don't pay me anything.
Andrew. Don't change the subject.
Okay, give me a second. I'll come up with a bit.
Well, we got to get this podcast going.
I know. Just give me a minute.
I'm going to give you to the count of 10, okay?
Come on. All right.
10.
Yeah.
9. 8.
I'm thinking.
7. You got anything?
Not yet. No.
6. 5. 4.
Come on, man.
Something.
That won't work. No.
3. Two, one and a half.
Yeah.
One.
I thought of a good one. I got it.
Too late.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
See, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Yeehaw! Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
It's love and time.
Well, how's it going, Lisa Foster?
Wow, that was a mashup. Well, there were two different people going on there.
Well, the thing is, Lisa, as we are recording this, I have a smoker going out on the back deck, and I'm smoking some ribs today. And there used to be a guy was on one of them cooking shows.
Yeah.
That was from Louisiana, and he would always talk about how you want to make sure when you're doing barbecue to put good old moppin' sauce on there.
I'm sorry, what kind of sauce, sir?
Moppin' sauce.
Muffin sauce?
Like you muffin? You mop it on there. It's like a mop like you clean a floor with, but instead you use the same technique, but you're putting this barbecue sauce on there.
And you mop it on.
It's a mopping sauce. It can have ketchup in it. It can have other kinds of tasty things on it. And it's wet. And you keep mopping that sauce on that rib. And then pretty soon it's all burned up. And it ain't no good. And you got to throw it away and give it to the dogs.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. I don't need any of my food mopped.
Okay.
But,
all right, I'll get off that. That's
hey, are you seriously cooking something right now? Because I'm really hungry.
Yeah. I think
what are you cooking?
It's just off of the window that I'm in the room that I'm at, and so the smell will come permeating into the room. And so I don't know. We might be the first podcast that ever actually created smell. Remember they had Smell-O-Vision in the movies for a while?
Yes, I remember that. I don't think I ever went to a movie that had that.
No, I didn't either.
Did you? But, it's weird that you're saying that because I was just reading about a new technology out about video games. There's some video games now that there's a smell attachment to them. I'm not joking around. This is a real thing. And I'm thinking,
what do you do? Scratch your screen?
No, it's like, so you know how your microphone's right in front of you right now? This is a little device that's right in front of you that apparently puffs little whiffs of...
My microphone is actually behind me right now. Let me turn it around.
There we go. That's better.
There you go. So this device would operate whenever you got to a certain part of the game where, I don't know, maybe you're rolling down a grassy hill and then you get a little puff of green grass smell.
Really?
So dumb. Yes, it's the truth. I'm telling you. I'll find the link.
We're always trying to combine our senses into one sort of experience.
Yeah,
what was it called? I remember there was a movie that had a big earthquake scene in it. Maybe that was the name of the movie, Earthquake. but they the seats would move around. So
yeah, they trembled.
Of course, 3D movies that sort of worked, but people really didn't want it. They thought it'll be more like real life, but it never looks the same as real life.
And it didn't really because it was kind of cool. I remember seeing Jaws 3, I think they needed some new, or maybe it was Jaws 4, it doesn't matter. But I do remember the Jaws movie was 3D, and then. But it just kills the story because all they're doing is trying to write in scenes that'll have like a fish coming at your face.
Yes,
when that
exactly.
doesn't really add to the story.
No, but no, it becomes more like a roller coaster ride than a movie. Yes, yeah,
exactly.
What's going to happen next?
People just need to stop this nonsense. So they do. Anyway,
but you know, before we get to the passages, which we always start with, and I don't know why.
I don't know.
But, you know, that smell-o-vision thing reminds me that how we make decisions about the people around us based on peripheral things like that. So if it's a big, hunky-looking guy, let's say.
Yeah.
And then
keep talking
back. He's just got big muscles.
Yeah.
I guess I'm kind of talking about myself. But let's say he's a guy that does have a
that
magnificent...
That looks exactly like you. Let's like say it's a guy that looks exactly
like me. Yes. But then he walks up and you say, "Oh my God, look at that guy! Wow, he is a specimen." And then he goes, "Hi, how are you? How's it going? Hey, want to see me flex again? Look at that!"
We call that the Mike Tyson effect.
Yeah, a little bit of Mike Tyson-ish, and it just when the voice doesn't fit the body and the image, then we're off put by it unfairly. But it's all those things, smell, touch, hearing, how they sound,
how they
look,
walk.
How they walk. Walking's a good one. Yeah.
Well, it's funny you bring up the smell thing because you wouldn't think that would be a game changer, but it is. I dated a guy a million years ago who... looked like he was just handsome and
his voice was great.
But he just had, there was something off, like he smelled, and it wasn't that he was dirty, he just smelled off, like I can't describe it. It is,
he smelled like off. Did he have insect spray?
And he you know, he was his hygiene was fine. It was just his natural. What are those called? Like pheromones or what? What the hell are those things?
Yeah,
his pheromones were off. Let me just say. And I tried everything I could to make out with this guy, but I couldn't. I was like,
oh my God!
Let me
quote you. I tried everything I could to make out with this guy, but. What are the everythings that you can do to make out with a guy? What are those?
Just don't breathe. I was like, okay, I can do this if I don't breathe. There's something off about his smell. And then smell combines with taste. So if you're kissing someone, then you're tasting the smell. And I'm like, I did everything I could. I couldn't. I drank. I might have gotten high. I did a lot of things to try to get past all of that because... He was pretty terrific in a lot of areas, but you can't help the way you smell. It wasn't his fault.
That's true. That is a malady that some people have.
Well, I don't think
malodorous without
right.
And it doesn't matter how much they shower or whatever they do. They just it's a unfair condition. But some
and I don't think he had a condition either. I think it was just. Didn't they do a study? They did a study a long time ago with women smelling men's t-shirts. And they're like different. Like there'd be some that women were like, oh yeah, this smell of this person's smell is good. And some, but they weren't all the same. It was very inconsistent. So you're attracted, like you said, you're attracted to what you're attracted to. I'm sure there's some women just huffing away on this guy that I was like, no, I can't. probably like digging it like, yeah, man.
Ooh, well, I suppose there's a certain eroticism that comes from certain smells that it connects to certain people that would that other people would say, oh, God, that's repulsive.
Yeah,
other people,
exactly.
Man, that's a turn on. I like that.
Yeah. I had a guy who couldn't stand watermelon.
Seedless or otherwise?
And I had once had watermelon. It just, he hated the smell of it. And I had watermelon really? Soap in my bathroom once, and he like threw a fit. And I'm like, oh, God, this
there
is so
great. Anyone around except this old man and me. The guy who ran the bar was watching Ironsides on TV. Uninvited, he sat down and opened up his mind on old dogs and children and watermelon wine.
I know a woman that was married to a friend of mine, and the woman, you could not say the word, what was it, saliva. That was her trigger word, saliva. And she'd go, oh, don't say that. Oh. You could say spit, but not saliva. Saliva, was it was the weirdest thing.
Dogs and children and watermelon wine.
So let me get to these mortalities here. Then we'll move on. I'll be quick. I know I always say I'm going to be quick. I am going to be quick. I'm going to give them short shrift, although they deserve much more. A remarkable person that I got, I'll mention meeting him one time at some point here, but Ted Turner passed away. He was 87, by the way. Ted Turner. I had a voice or talk like sort of like that mopping sauce guy I was talking about at the beginning, not that extreme.
Right.
Of course, we all know his story. He formed CNN, the cable news network, back in the 1980s, I guess.
Yep. Yeah. He reshaped the entire media landscape.
Whatever he tried, it seemed, Turner couldn't lose. He first achieved big-time success when he bought a second-rate television station in Atlanta and put it up on a satellite. The first so-called superstation was born, an enterprise that would eventually grow into Turner Broadcasting. He bought the Atlanta Braves, turning them into a national sensation, and a year later won the America's Cup yachting race. But what really put Turner on the map was when he launched 24-hour cable news on June 1st, 1980.
This is CNN.
I was the first global broadcaster. CNN was the first global network.
You think about it, 24-hour news cycle, that's a crazy idea. That was not going to work. And, of course, you saw what happened. And I think he gave other dreamers the idea for other kind of TV networks. ESPN, sports 24 hours. Stupid idea. Nobody's going to watch sports for 24 hours.
Right.
It's crazy. Cooking channels, HGTV, the outdoor channel, guys hunting and fishing. Nobody's going to watch that all day long. History, you could argue the Fox Network, MS Now, Food Network, Nickelodeon, Discovery, Smithsonian Channel, Magnolia. One of my favorites is Turner Classic Movies. I watch that all the time. TNT, TBS, he created all of those. Not all the ones I mentioned earlier, but the point is he just kind of said, wait a minute, there's an appetite. We don't need to be thinking as broadly as we do in broadcasting. Cable news can be more narrow casting. We can give things. We're not going to get 90 shares, but we're going to get solid, you know, whatever, 8%. And that's enough. We can make a lot of money doing that. And and that was Ted Turner's vision. He did a lot of other stuff. Of course, he had some marriages, including one to Jane Fonda.
After 10 years of marriage, Jane Fonda filed for divorce.
It's impossible to really be with Ted the way he needs someone to be with him and have any kind of life of your own.
He won the, he was captaining the winning yacht in America's Cup race back in 1977, before probably anybody really knew his name. He owned the Atlanta Braves. Later in his life, he became kind of a naturalist. He bought great preserves of land. But I got to meet him because the Olympics, United States participation in the Olympics, we decided we're not going to send representatives to the Olympics. So Jimmy Carter said, nope, no Olympic team. And so Ted Turner invented a new thing called the Goodwill Games, which was a sort of mini Olympics, if you will. But it attracted some really important athletes.
The Soviets are coming. So are the Chinese. The English, the Cubans, Aussies, and Germans, the best athletes on earth. They're coming in 1990 to the Goodwill Games, and the world will be watching.
The TV station I worked for was a broadcasting partner in the game.
The time was right for the 1990 Summer Goodwill Games. Countries from around the world would gather in Seattle, Washington, to not only celebrate the spirit of competition, but also reinforce that a hopeful new world of peace was arising.
They took a bunch of us to Atlanta, and so it was a big deal. And then I got to be a reporter at the Goodwill Games.
Oh, cool.
But I was in a receiving line, not a receiving line, but a buffet, I guess. And so I'm in this line, and Ted Turner is right across from me. I'll never forget the immortal words that Ted Turner said to me, avoid the sausages.
Nice.
Anyway, he passed away. Long life, not all perfect. He definitely changed the world, not just broadcasting.
I'm working now to try and help save the world.
But here's some others that have passed on. John Sterling, 87 years old. I'm sure you don't know who he was, but I did.
I didn't know who that is.
And
who?
I couldn't listen to him because he was the New York Yankees baseball announcer.
Oh, okay.
And he was colorful. He was wacky. He would, you know, somebody hit a home run, he'd go, the Yankees win, you know, just crazy. But he called consecutively 5,600 games in a row.
Wow.
Swung on and hit high in the air to deep right. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Birdie goes boom. He drills a home run the short way in the right field seats. Burn, baby, burn. And the Yankees tie the ball game at one.
John Sterling. He was pretty colorful. Then there's a guy named Seymour Bernstein, or Stein, that died at the age of 99. Tremendously talented pianist. Ethan Hawke, who's one of my favorite actors,
really is good. Ethan Hawke is one of the most underrated actors out there.
I agree.
I think.
I agree.
He's fantastic.
He's great.
Yeah.
We can get a whole other thing about him.
Yeah.
But he did a documentary some years ago called Seymour, An Introduction. Seymour Bernstein was who what the documentary was about. And at the height of his career, he was like 49 years old, Seymour Bernstein just said, I can't take this anymore. And he had such incredible stage fright that he did his last public concert in 1977 and said, nope, I can't do it anymore. I can't be comfortable performing in front of other people.
I didn't tell anyone, and I arranged a farewell concert, and that was the last concert I ever played.
So then he became a teacher and a composer, and he was great at that.
So did you think in the end that you found your creative identity as a teacher?
A dream that was better than mine. You're not allowed to play better than I do.
And Ethan Hawke discovered him, found out about him, and did a whole documentary based on his life, his stage fright, all of it. It's really good. It's called Seymour, An Introduction.
My friend invited me over to dinner, and Seymour Bernstein was sitting next to me, and I immediately felt kind of safe around him. I decided to confide with him that I've been performing with a crippling stage fright. The bottom line of the conversation, most artists are not nervous enough.
And this leads me to my theory, Lisa.
Which is
that the greatest talents in the world, whether it be in music, if you're a singer, you're a scientist, all of these potential genius types, 99.9% of those people are never discovered. They're never in a situation where they can go to school, or their talents are recognized. You're going to be a farmer just like your dad was. And I'm just thinking, the greatest singer who ever lived, for example, in my opinion, is some guy that was tilling a field back in 1444, out in Europe somewhere, and he would sing quietly to himself, and maybe his co-workers would say, "Oh, yeah, pretty good there, Saul." But there was no way to record his voice, for one thing, no way for him to ever find his way onto a stage and perform in front of people. Mm-hmm. That's my theory, is that the greatest talents that this planet has ever produced are totally unknown to the rest of us.
You just really bummed everybody out with that.
Sorry. But one guy that did make it to depressing. The forefront,
yes,
well, it, sort of the forefront, was a guy named David Allan Coe, who just passed away. He was 86. He was a practitioner of what they call outlaw country music, like Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings and those kind of guys. David Allan Coe wrote this song for Johnny Paycheck.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
And it spoke to people.
Yes. Like,
that's exactly what I feel. Good job.
Yep.
He had a hit, "You Never Even Called Me By My Name," back in 1975.
Well, it was all that I could do to keep from crying. Sometimes it seems so useless to remain, but you don't have to call me darling, darling. You never even call me by my name.
Long-haired redneck was his song in 76.
Country DJs knows that I'm an outlaw. They'd never come to see me in this dive, where bikers stare at cowboys who are laughing at the hippies who are praying they'll get out of here alive. Loudmouth in the corner's getting to me, talking about my earrings and my hair. I guess he ain't read the signs that say I've been to prison. Someone ought to warn him before I knock him off his chair. 'Cause my long hair just can't cover up my redneck. I've won every fight I've ever fought, and I don't need some turkey telling me that I ain't country, the damn dough ticket that he bought.
But let me read you part of the lyric of "You Never Even Called Me By My Name."
Okay.
This is the ending. He says, I was drunk the day my mom got out of prison, and I went to pick her up in the rain. But before I could get to the station in my pickup truck, she got runned over by a damned old train.
Jesus Christ.
David Allan Coe. Tanya Tucker's song, "Would You Lay With Me in a Field of Stone," was something that he wrote as well, 1973.
Would you lay with me in a field of stone if my needs were strong? Would you lay with me? Should my lips grow dry, would you wet them dear in the midnight hour if my lips were dry?
But David Allan Coe, he lived it like he wrote it, because he did a lot of prison time. Auto theft, burglary. Mm. He was in a biker gang. So he wrote from experience.
Yeah.
Would you wet them dear with this dream of life?
And finally, 78-year-old Nedra Tally Ross, the last surviving member of this group, the Ronettes.
The night we met, I knew I needed you so. And if I had the chance, I'd never let you
be my baby.
Yeah.
Be my baby.
Be my baby.
This one, Baby, I Love You. And Walking in the Rain. Last surviving member of the Ronettes, Nedra Tally Ross. She passed at 78. She was only like 16 or 17, 18 years old when she began her career with the Ronettes. They were all kids in that group in that time.
And they had fantastic beehive hairdos back then.
Yes,
too.
Yes.
We need to bring
I now am sporting.
Good, because yeah. I'm on a mission to bring back the beehive. So I'm glad you're embracing it already.
But don't use real bees this time, okay?
Like walking in the rain and wishing on the stars above the world and being so in love.
I was getting on Facebook.
Oh, the old Facebook.
And which I don't get on very frequently.
Yeah.
Sounds like a drug. Yeah, I don't drink that often. But once in a while, I'll get a prompt, and it'll say, hey, somebody mentioned you on Facebook, or Lisa Foster said something. And so I go to Facebook, and you have commented on a cartoon where somebody's saying, what's wrong with you?
Wait, you've commented on it, or I commented on it?
You commented, and you said, yeah, that's something Pat and I say to each other quite often. What's wrong with you?
I don't even remember commenting on that, but it is something we say often. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, well, but then a guy named Larry Everett wrote a comment and said, I use that as an icebreaker. Like, you've never met anybody before. First time sitting down, you kind of smell. And by the way, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, what's wrong with you? Yeah.
I thought that icebreakers are kind of an interesting thing because I'm bad at them. I'm bad at coming up with icebreakers, and I always thought I should rehearse a few before I show up.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about my friend who asked during a job interview if you ever killed a guy. Now that is a big icebreaker right there. I was thinking of a few others. Have you ever considered being a pro wrestler? If you were born again, would you have two belly buttons? If love is blind, then why are you wearing makeup? Or a push-up bra? Those are good icebreakers.
Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, let me jump in your game. Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, let me jump in your game.
Do you have a go-to icebreaker?
Well, in dating, I'm constantly bored because there's just the trickle of, you know, what do you do for work? How was your day? Are you reading anything? What kind of music do you like? That just bores me to tears.
Hello, I love you. Won't you tell me your name?
So what's the ultimate icebreaker?
So I like things
never
that
go
are,
wrong with.
I like things that are interesting, and I think I like things that are funny too. Like, I get the whole what's wrong with you is very, I would love a man who came up to the coffee table and sat down and said, nice to meet you. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with you? I'd be like, this is fantastic. Let's talk about this. What do I think is wrong with? Yeah, I think that's funny. Like, here's what's wrong with me. What's wrong with you?
But you would assume then that when he says that, he sees something wrong with you.
I just think it's funny. Like
why wouldn't he say, is there anything wrong with you? Or something like that. When he says, what's wrong with you?
Because there's something wrong with everyone. So it'd be funny. And then I think that I like this line about, have you ever killed someone? I'm going to actually use that the next time a guy messages me. I'm just going to see. Because you can measure their level of humor by these sort of, random questions that nobody expects. If they respond poorly, you can measure their, because a lot of people go, I'm funny. Yeah, not everybody's funny. Everybody thinks they are funny, but they're not.
Well, everybody's not the same kind of funny. You're funny in way, but it might not be funny to somebody else, but they are funny in their particular. So you need to find people that are funny like you're funny.
That's
like
why I found these questions
like
are
I
fun.
Found with my wife. Yeah.
So I actually thought, I'm not going to ask somebody, hi, how are you? What are you doing today? I decided to say, so nice to match with you. What's the worst hotel room you've ever spent time? What's the worst hotel room you were ever in? I think that's fun. And he just didn't pick up with it and go. He just went, why are you asking me that? And I went, okay, never mind. You just poured cold water on a pretty fun question.
Well, but I in that fictional person's defense.
He's not fictional. That, he was real.
That's a
boy.
Weird. That's a weird opening salvo, don't you agree?
No.
I mean, you could lead them there at some point.
I suppose.
Like, when you go places, do you like camping or do you stay in a hotel?
Yeah.
Then, I stay in a hotel. Oh, really? What's the weirdest hotel room you were ever
in? Yeah, I suppose.
You could get there that way, but.
Yeah, I guess.
If you were asking me that, I'd say, oh, she wants to go to bed.
Well, that's the other thing then you can discover. If they turn it sexual immediately, then they're like, okay, good. These are all good ways to.
Has that happened to you?
Oh, are you kidding? My gosh. Yes.
Describe an incident like that that's really happened to you. You've just met some guy for the first time, and how does it go?
I am feeling very uncomfortable sharing this with you. What do you mean? Like,
since when do you have trouble sharing stuff?
I don't know. You put me on the spot, and I feel like anything I say, you're going to go, that doesn't sound like a sexual come on, and it is.
It's all a matter of perception. I mean, I'm not asking you to name names, Larry Jenkins, but how did he steer it into it?
They don't really have most of the time, they just steer themselves into it. Like you said, you know, okay, well, it was nice texting with you. It's late. I'm going to go to bed. And they go, oh, wish I was there with you. Are you fucking 12? What the f-? It's like, just so stupid.
Well, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't take much, if anything at all. Yeah. For it to go there. But that's good information, because then right then I'm like,
I get you. What if you met a guy?
Here we go.
You know, you had never met him before, but you arranged and you're going to have a coffee date, your first date, okay? You walk in, you're looking around the room. First of all, how do you discover the person? Oh, because you've sent your picture.
Yeah, I'm on a dating app.
Okay.
I'm on a dating app.
Okay. Well, this isn't going to quite work. Let's say it's a guy you've never met before, but you've corresponded with.
And I haven't seen what he looks
like. But you haven't seen him or heard his voice.
Okay, I've had this situation come up, so do continue.
Okay. All right. So let's say you're at a Starbucks, and he you know, you're going to go in there and meet him, and you don't know who it is. And there's a bunch of people in there, and he raises his hand. I don't know how you would discover. This has happened to me too. I go to meet somebody, but I don't know what they look like.
Yeah.
Then you awkwardly have to look around the room. You feel very self. Okay, but let's say, you finally figure out who it is.
Okay.
It's the guy.
God, you're taking a long time with this setup. I don't know, sir.
I know. I'll cut all of this out.
No,
the podcast.
No, just keep going. Get it out.
So you sit down, and he goes. And this is what he does.
Oh, he's a mouth breather?
Hi. You must be Lisa's.
God.
You stay?
Yes.
Or do you jump to your feet and run out of there?
No, that's...
Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time.
That just seems poor manners to me, but I can usually tell. I had one situation a long, long time ago. I think I told you the story. I think we were still on the air. So there was a situation where I had a blind date, and I can't remember if somebody set me up on it or how it, but that was a situation. I didn't know what he looked like. So I was at at Anthony's, and here's another mistake. Don't book a frickin' brunch with someone you've never met before, because there's really no getting out of that quickly.
Yeah, I like the coffee idea.
Coffee's really simple, in, out. Gee, God, look at the time, got to go. But brunch, you're kind of committed. So I'm at Anthony's, I'm waiting, and...
For people who don't know, that's a restaurant.
Every once in a while, a man with no other person would walk in, and I'd be like, oh, please don't be him. Please don't be him. Please don't be him. Please don't be him. And then it wouldn't be him. And then somebody else would walk, and I go, oh gosh, I hope that's him. No, here comes a woman. Okay. And then the guy I was supposed to meet, I was like, oh, please don't be him. Please don't be him. Please don't be him. Hi, how are you? And it was him.
Let it be.
Pat, it was him, and it just I can't describe. He was just disheveled and kind of crusty.
Is there a word called shoveled? By the way, I've always wondered about.
He's disheveled.
God, he's sure shoveled. Look at him; he's attractive.
Sort of crusty and just not, just sort of fidgety. Just kind of this whole thing was not working, and.
Fidgety.
He was fit, and we had to have a conversation and sit across and eat. And I'm like, this, oh my gosh. So I suffered through it, but I wasn't going to leave, even though I knew this wasn't going anywhere. But he then said, so what are you doing after this brunch thing here? And I said, this was the worst lie I've ever told. Don't know why it came out. I pulled it out of my ass and I said, no, I can't. I got to run really quick here because I'm building a fence with my friend Trixie. I do not know why that came out of my mouth. My friend Trixie and I laugh about it all the time. I go, I don't know. And she'll laugh and she goes, she will like call that back occasionally if I tell her I've gone on a date. She goes, oh, did you have to leave to go build a fence? I'm like, but that's a pretty good one, right? Like, that's they're not going to question you on, what do you mean go build a fence?
Your guy says, but it's 11 o'clock at night.
Right. Trixie's got a flashlight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so I just, that was tough. But no, I would never, I would never walk out on somebody. I've wrapped things up after a cup of coffee and just said, you know, I just, thanks for spending time with me, but I got to go build a fence.
See you later, Mr. Fidgety.
Go build a fence. I was like the dumbest excuse.
Huckleberry Finn's going to help me.
I'm going to build a big fence around my baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Build a big fence around my baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I like everything that you do. Oh, honey, that's why I'm in love with you. Gonna build a big fence. Baby, so they can't steal my baby from me.
Oh, yeah.
So they can't steal my baby from me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
One time I went on Billy me, I didn't do this very often, but I was going to meet a woman that I'd never met before. It's sort of a blind date thing, I think.
Yeah.
So she comes in, and Lisa, I was drinking coffee, I think, or eating a donut or something like that. It was a coffee shop. And
eating
I started.
A donut.
And I was coughing. I was choking on this thing. That's when she walks in. So she goes, oh, I wonder who. And I'm.
Oh no.
It's one of those that's so bad you can't even talk for a while.
Yeah. And you just, it takes a while for you to recover.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm so focused on, oh, I can't barely talk. Hi, I'm Pat. Nice to meet you. It was a nightmare.
Yeah.
And you know, they say you can never change a first impression. Right. I mean, I could have been very erudite and. You could imagine that I could be.
I could. Yeah. I could imagine that.
But there was no recovery from that. It was just awful. And I never, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, finally starting to get my voice back. But I mean, I was dead on arrival after
and
that.
By then,
it was not
she said,
my
look,
fault.
It's nice to meet you, but I got to go build a fence.
Yeah, with Dr. Heimlich. Yeah. Did I ever tell you about the first date I had with my wonderful wife, Patty? It was our first date.
I think you did, but I don't remember because I'm confused by the two of you because
I am
you guys went to school together.
Yes.
Yeah, but you didn't hang out. But you didn't hang out in the same crowd.
No.
You didn't hang out in the same crowd. But
No, you're right. We did not hang out in the same crowd.
Yeah, so I never understood how did that even happen?
We were our own crowd, just the two of us.
Right.
Her friends were not my friends. My friends were not her friends.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it happened was we were both, I think we're both nice people, but we were also gabby people. And,
yes, I concur and we on would, both of those points.
We would get in trouble, not simultaneously, separately. We'd get in trouble in places like the high school library, for example. You're not supposed to talk in there.
No.
There's things called study hall. You're not supposed to talk in there. You're supposed to study.
Yeah.
And that's where we would be gabbing, and we'd get, okay, off you go. You're going to the study tray. There was a thing called the study trailer. It was kind of a place to perform penance for your gabbiness. You go in there, you're studying. You got these little cubicles, and you're studying in there. And you'll study, goddammit, until you're smart.
And are you not? Up. And do they tape your mouth shut, or how do they prevent you from talking? I don't understand.
They don't. You go in there, and and you ostensibly would be by yourself.
Okay.
So you got nobody to talk to. But inevitably, it would be Patty. Her last name was Higgins. Patty Higgins and Pat Cashman, and they're sitting right next to each other in the study trailer. And
well, they didn't think that through very well.
No,
did they
didn't. Or maybe we were just a special case. So we would just and we were just joking, and she, you know, I had a degree of not acne but pimples when I was in high school. Which is
I've known you for about 1800 years. I would never, and I've seen pictures of you in your little football outfit, and I've seen pictures of you, you know, but
in
I would
my
have never
little football outfit. Your little, you just cut my legs out from under me by calling it a little. Say, I've seen you in your football uniform. That was impressive. No, little football, not a uniform, an outfit.
I know. Oh.
Okay,
So I've seen you in your little football outfit.
Okay, now I didn't have raging acne, but I'd get...
Well, that's what I'm saying. I didn't realize you had a skin problem.
No, one zit in a teenager is the end of the world.
Oh, I know.
As you must know.
Oh, I know.
It's horrifying. It's just awful. And I wore glasses in high school, and I became grateful for wearing glasses because when I would get a zit between my eyes, my glasses would cover it, so no one would know. But I remember distinctly one day, this is how Patty was with me. She would not say, oh, you're just a great guy. I really like you. It was always, she was always giving me shit.
Yeah.
Always. All the time. Hey, Cashman. Hi, Patty. What's up? Hey, nice headlight. That was her all the time.
About your pimple? That's what she would call it, a headlight?
Yeah. Hey, nice headlight, Cashman. Yeah. No. And you know, this is, I had no girlfriends in high school. This was the closest thing I had to a girlfriend. And the girlfriend of my dreams is saying, nice headlight, Cashman. Gee, those are lovey words. I'm thinking, man, I'm never going to get to first base. I'm not even going to get off home plate with this woman. She thinks I'm an idiot.
Wise men say only fools rush in.
Hey, Cashman!
But I can't help.
Oh, hi, Patty.
Falling in love.
Nice headlight.
With
actually a taillight.
Years later, she's been married, she has a child, and we reconnect again.
Yeah.
Maybe 5 years after high school, and we just hit it off. But I just wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to be a man, I guess. Yeah.
Well, that's not what being a man is. I mean,
I know. I don't know. I wasn't mature. Let's put it that way.
Well, you were the oldest brother, too, so you didn't even have any, like, you know,
no
guidance in terms of,
no,
you know.
That's a good point. That's a fair point. I don't think it's an excuse, but it's
no,
a fair
no,
point.
No, 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 no. But yeah, you know, it doesn't sound like you had, first of all, I don't know.
So my go-to thing was to joke, always joking, yeah, you know, that stuff. And so when she and I were in that mode together, first of all, I was in disbelief that a woman could be funny. I thought only guys are funny. This is not possible. This is before I met you, too, of course.
What but is I really wrong did, with you?
I had two strong beliefs. Women cannot be funny, and women, girls, do not fart. Those were two of my core beliefs.
And those are the top two things we do.
Farting.
On your mind, on your mind.
This is a long way of getting to my first date with Patty. My first real date. This is post-college and post her marriage and all of that. First date, I pick her up. Hey, hey. And she said,
I want you to see my new little kitty.
That's how Patty talks, by the way.
That is not how she talks.
I want you to see my new little kitty. And oh, hi.
I'm going to tell her you. I'm telling her you said that.
You know what? I really recommend you don't.
I'm sending her a copy
She'll
of this
She'll shut down
this
whole podcast operation.
I know she will. She will shut it down.
So, and she's, and so, and I didn't like cats. You know, I love them now, but I didn't, we didn't have pets when I was a kid. I know you
so
grew
she
up
had
with
a
dogs.
New, she had a new kitten.
New kitten. It was cute as hell. Even I had to concede
and
that.
And how'd she say it again? How did she say
hey,
it?
Hey, look at my new kitty.
Oh, it's cute. What's his name?
It's Spunky. It's Spunky.
Oh, you got a weird voice. By the way, you know that? You smell pretty good, though. And she said, yeah, this kid's great. So anyway, we go out. We get my car's in the driveway. We go out. We're rolling back down the driveway to go on our date. And I look back up at the top of the driveway where we have just been. And there is her kitten flopping around on the driveway. I have run over her cat.
Oh, Pat.
How it got outside, we don't know.
Oh my
I rent a first date. I run over and kill her cat.
Oh my God! I was not expecting that.
No, it's not funny.
Story.
It's not funny. It's horrible. It's the worst date story I've ever heard.
There's a Keanu Reeves movie. I believe it's I don't know what it's called, Wick, or something like that.
John Wick.
John Wick.
Yeah.
And the very first scene, I didn't even watch it because somebody's talking about how his puppy gets shot. And that's the whole movie is him getting revenge for them killing his. And I'm like, you know what? I don't need to see that. Yeah. I don't need to see it.
When I watch movies with with my wife, I will say, we'll be watching something and she'll go, oh, no, they're not going to kill that dog, are they? And I go,
yeah.
No, they would not kill the dog. They do research, Patty. The people that do these movies, they do some audience work and stuff. They know people will not like that if they kill. Oh shit! They just killed that dog.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's turn this off, and then
yeah,
we won't watch the rest of it.
No,
okay, here we
I
go.
The same way.
Joke of the
All right,
month,
let's go.
Of the thank you for your attention to this matter. The worried housewife sprang to the telephone when it rang. And she listened with relief, Lisa, to the kindly voice in her ear. The voice said, how are you, darling? What kind of day are you having?
Have you killed a man?
Wait a minute, I should have. Let me change this now. Let me back up on this joke. a kindly voice goes, "How are you, darling? What kind of day are you having?"
Hold on. You went like from one. Do you know who the characters are in this joke?
No.
Are you just making it up?
Yeah, I didn't really. I didn't.
Because the first one sounded like really like rugged guy.
Yeah, I know. I know. I just let's pretend like that never happened.
Okay,
and again, I will edit this out of the final podcast.
All right.
So the worried housewife sprang to the telephone when it rang, and she listened with relief to the kindly voice in her ear.
Okay.
How are you, honey? Aww. What kind of day are you having?
Aww.
Oh, mother, said the housewife, breaking into tears. I have had a horrible day, Mom. The baby won't eat. The washing machine broke down. I haven't had a chance to go shopping. I sprained my ankle yesterday. I got to hobble around right now. It hurts like hell. And on top of that, the house is a mess. We're supposed to have two couples over to dinner tonight. The mother was shocked, and she was also sympathetic. She said,
"Oh, honey, sit down and relax and close your eyes. I'll be over in half an hour. I'll do your shopping. I'll clean up the house. I'll cook your dinner for you. I'll feed the baby. I'll call a repairman I know. He'll fix that washing machine. Stop crying, honey. I'll do everything. In fact, I'm even going to call George at the office and tell him he ought to come home and help you for a while."
The housewife said, "George? Who's George?"
"Well, he's your husband, George. Is this 555-1374?
"No. No, this is 555-1375.
Oh, no.
"Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I have the wrong number."
And the housewife said, "Well, does this mean you're not coming over?" Wait, nothing? I don't get even a courtesy laugh from you? Nothing? Okay, let me do the ending again, Lisa. Okay. Without your help.
Okay.
"Does this mean you're not coming over?"
That's more like it. There you go. Killed it.
Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences. Gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. Can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences.
Thanks for listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.